A family was hosting the traditional Thanksgiving dinner, and they were expecting a very large household of guests coming. And to help with the preparation of all the dinner, the friend of the hostess came early to be able to be a part of the preparation time. And so it was that as they had gotten everything ready and they were about to put the stuffing in, everything was prepared, and they took the bird and they stuffed all the nooks and crannies with the concoction of dressing that would get the aroma and the juices of the turkey, and they hoisted it up to put in the oven when the friend had a moment of horror. The Band-Aid that she had on her finger was missing. What to do? They talked about it. They thought maybe they'd go ahead and cook the turkey as is, and if anybody got it, they would be told they were the recipients of some prize. They decided that they would unstuff the turkey and sift through all the dressing to try and locate that missing bandage. And so it was that they took all the dressing out and they fingered through it, and they couldn't find the finger dressing in the turkey dressing. So they stuffed it all back in, went to pick it up and put in the oven, and there it was underneath on the counter, underneath the pan. Yeah, that was a little mishap. Another couple related how this was their first Thanksgiving together. It was their first Thanksgiving dinner to prepare at home, and so the husband thought it would be an appropriate gesture on this very special occasion in celebrating their first Thanksgiving with their first turkey that he would pop open a bottle of champagne. So as everything was garnished and ready to go in the oven, the wife picked it up, and at that moment of anticipation and putting it in the oven, the cork popped off and flew up in the air, breaking the light above it and raining shards of glass all over their turkey. Needless to say, that's not what they had for dinner that day. Have you had any of those kinds of occasions that were memorable, to say the least, and things that we can talk about? But regardless of how Thanksgiving may have turned out this year or in previous year, would you agree with me that we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? The Lord has been so good to us. He has blessed us immensely, and we are filled with gratitude for all the things that He has done for us. And so in the spirit of thanksgiving, would you take your Bibles and turn to the Old Testament and the book of Psalms? And we want to look at a particular Psalm 145, Psalm 145 this morning. It has been given the title David's Psalm of Praise. And there are actually a series of them. 145 through the end of the Psalms are different things in which they're grateful for, that the psalmist is praising God for. In this particular psalm, as we read through it, we're really uncertain, and scholars are unsure about the reasons why David is writing this at all. Now, he has a lot to be thankful for, but there isn't a specific occasion in which the psalmist is saying, "I'm giving the Lord praise." It might be just a compilation of memories that the psalmist is taking in all the things that he has looked over the past many years of God's blessings in his life, that he just has this resounding anthem and he wants to write about it. Not anything in particular, but about everything in being specific. So it could be that David is remembering those days in which at the hands of Saul, he was running away for fear of his life. Saul was out to get him, not just once, but numerous times, chasing him all over creation. And David being saved during those times of torment by Saul. It might be that David is reflecting on the defeat of Goliath there in the battlefield with the Philistine armies and the Israelite armies, and they're in the middle, and David comes to him in the name and power of the Lord, and he defeats Goliath. So it might be that occasion that he's referring to as well, or it could be any other number of the enemies from which David was spared that he is saying, you know, God is to be given praise, thanks. So we don't know for sure why he wrote this psalm, but we do know that he wrote it and that he had a lot to be thankful for. And he sums up a lifetime of memories and blessings in this particular psalm. You can't tell from the English translation, but if you knew Hebrew, you would see that it's an acrostic. Every verse begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, if you're a student, you would understand and know that the Hebrew alphabet has how many letters in it? 22. Now, if you're reading to the end of the chapter, how many verses? 21. So now you're beginning to wonder, why the discrepancy? Is there an error? What did they forget? If you knew the Hebrew alphabet, reading through their letters, you would find out that the missing letter, it would be our equivalent to our letter N. And so pondering this, scholars have come to the conclusion that perhaps the reason David didn't include one letter in the alphabet is that our praise to the Lord should be unending. I'm just telling you what scholars have written. You know, it might be a groaner, but it's possible that that's the reason why that it's incomplete. Our praise to the Lord is incomplete. Begins and ends with God. But it always contains an element of praise. So what are you thankful for today? What comes to mind? Could you take a sheet of paper and list things, maybe 50 things for which you're thankful? Maybe 100 things for which you're thankful. What would that list include? Would you just go ahead and think about that and shout some out? Go ahead, right where you're seated. Health. Family. Answered prayer. Salvation. Reconciliation. Forgiveness. As grace. No issues with the procedure. Coming through it fine. Not having to have additional things done. Well, it's not over, but that particular one. The Bible, His Word. Eternity, thinking of the fact that we are going to live forever and ever and that it's going to be in the presence of the Lord. Fellowship. Hope. How about our job? If you're retired, how about retirement? If you're unemployed, how about unemployment benefits if you receive those? There are so many things that we could list as being blessings from God that we could give praise for and in respect to what the psalmist is writing, conclude the same things about where our blessings come from. If your Bible's open, Psalm 145, I would like for us, first of all, we're going to note some different things in here. And I want you to keep in mind that praise isn't just about the good things, is it? We are to praise the Lord when there are unwelcome events in life, things that we didn't plan for, things that we wish didn't happen. But we are to give the Lord praise for those just as much and as readily as we are those things that make us smile and fill with joy. So the first thing I would like us to see in verse 1 is that praise is to be personal. Praise is to be personal. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Personal from the standpoint that it's God's blessing to me. that as his child, he is giving those things directly to me. I am the recipient. It's personal. But not only personal from that standpoint, personal from the standpoint of the relationship that I have with the Lord, that he desires to have that personal relationship with me. So we see in this verse that our praise is to be personal. I hope you notice in that verse that there isn't a shred of evidence on David's viewpoint that he did anything. That it was all the Lord. He's giving credit to God because God is the one who is blessing him. God is the one who has his hand in his life. And so as you read through this particular psalm, it is all about God. I get a little weary listening to athletes who make great acclaim about their own abilities without any acknowledgement that God was the one who did it. But it's not just athletes, is it? It could be a CEO. It could be your boss. It could be a coworker. And they say that the way they are, the things that they have accumulated, all that has happened to them that's transpired in their life is on account of their own hard work. Never at all mentioning that the grade I got in school or the promotion I got at work or the food that I just put in my trunk came at the hand of the Lord. We need to remember that it's a personal relationship that we have with God, and David is acknowledging that God is the one who has blessed him, that it's his hand who has provided these things for him, and he makes it a very personal request. The author has been pondering for some time all of God's blessings. He is going to name some of those in this chapter for us, and in his musing over God's blessing, he shouts out praise to the Lord. It's personal to him. God has blessed me. And so how can I not just return and give him blessing in return or thanks in return? He can't help but speak praise to God and about God for all that he has done. Would it be helpful if we wrote those things down? I know I don't, and I probably should. I know that I should spend the time and recount the things that God has done for me. Call it your tickler file, if you will. A prompter that when you feel God's absence or you're uncertain about God's blessings, to pull that sheet out and then review the things that God has done for you or how he has blessed you. Just as a reminder that God's blessing doesn't end. That he continues each day to give us and to give us and to give us again and again. So take some time to write down those things. And not just the big things, not just things like making it through a procedure without having any other thing. To thank God for the promotion that we might have gotten, or whatever it might be, those big things that we have been praying so earnestly about. But how about the little things? The aroma of a flower. The ability to smell. The ability to hear. The ability to handle, to touch, to work with our hands. Include those things because they are just as much God's provision for us as all those other things that he does for us as well. Would you agree with me? So we need to remember those also. But don't just stop there, because we'll find out in this psalm that we also, as we learned from Job last week, that our thanks to God shouldn't just be about those things, but we should also think about praising God, and we should, for the toothache we just had, or the headache that we might. For some reason, God has allowed those things, and they are to be opportunities to give God praise. When you rise up in the morning, give him thanks for the sunrise. When you go to bed at night, give thanks for the sunset. Thank him for the seasons. Thank him for the promise of the seasons, that none will cease to be until the Lord's coming. We'll have all four, whether we want them or not. They're going to be there. And so give thanks because they're a reminder that God is going to come and they will not cease until His Son does come back. So give Him thanks for that. Could you give Him thanks for schools, for teachers? Can you give Him thanks for education, for tests? Thank Him for the job that we have or for the opportunities to serve, so many things. I suggest to you this morning that a lack of gratitude stems from an entitlement mentality in which we expect, even demand, certain things from God. And as we learned last week from Job, everything that we have comes from Him. And so we need to give Him praise. We need to give Him thanks. I think also that it means that we, in being personal, that we need to share those personal blessings with other people. Would you agree with me? We're going to tell them about the good grade that we got in school or the bonus that we might have received or something that happened to us that's fate. We're going to tell them anyways. So why not give credit where credit is due, that it was from God's good hand? Would you agree with me? Guess what, Mom? I got an A on my English test. Who did that? Well, yeah, you had to study. But why not give praise to God because He did that? Or, I came through the surgery with flying colors. God did that. Let the doctor know that it wasn't just His hand, but it was the hand of God in His life, directing and providing the skill, acknowledging that it was God's hand in those things. So as you have opportunity to share the blessings in your life with other people, let them know that it was God who did it. That's what the Psalms, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. And I believe that personal relationship gives us the opportunity to share with others. Tim Tebow may not be one of the football's finest quarterbacks, but he makes no qualms about the fact that his skill, his ability comes from the Lord. He is not ashamed and unapologetically shares with others about the fact that Christ is the one who has given him the ability to do what he is able to do. Doesn't matter what other people think. Doesn't matter what other people in the news write about him or his faith. He's going to give credit to the Lord because the Lord has blessed him with that skill. And because he has a public platform, he's going to take advantage of that and to share with others that God is the one who blessed him. We need to let others know that it was the Lord because he deserves our praise. Notice also that David identifies where his praise belongs. He says that, I will exalt you, my God. He's talking about God in respect to His being supreme, that there isn't anyone else above Him, and that there isn't anything that has happened to Him that has come from someone else. It is all the Lord. I'm acknowledging that God is the one as supreme being who has given to me these blessings. So he's acknowledging that it is my God, making it personal again. We see in that particular word the intimacy in which David is identifying his relationship with the Lord. He loves the Lord for all that God has done for him and his protection. And we'll look at some of those things in this particular passage. But God isn't some nebulous deity out in the cosmos who's unconcerned and uncaring about us. He acknowledges that God is the one, the God of the universe, the one who is the creator and the sustainer of all that we see, that God is the one who has brought these blessings to him. He has revealed himself, and David has a personal relationship with him. It's like he's saying that he and God are on first name basis with each other. That here's God and here's David. God loves him so much and David loves God that they're intimately acquainted with each other. And David is acknowledging and giving praise to God. He loves the Lord. I'd like you to take your hymnal, one that's number 78. I think this is a fitting hymn. Just a very short chorus. And I don't know if you're in the habit of occasionally singing a song of praise to the Lord, but this is a great one. Just to acknowledge Do you want to play it, Elaine? You can if you'd like to. It's an attempt on our part to share with the Lord that I love you. I love you, Lord. Oh, she was playing the optional ending. We're not going to sing the optional ending. We're just going to sing the chorus. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear, may it be a sweet sound in your ear. Again, I love you, Lord. Make it your song of praise. To worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy. God loves to hear the songs of praise that are to Him for His blessings. Make them personal. When God has done something for you, give Him a song of praise. Give Him a psalm that resonates from a heart of gratitude for His blessings. God is supreme, and David is identifying Him as my God. But notice also, not only is he talking about God as being supreme, but he's also speaking of God as being sovereign. I will praise you, I will exalt you, my God, the King. God is sovereign, and David is identifying here the rightful place that he understands, being a king himself, sovereign over a territory, that there is one who is yet over him, and it is the Lord, my King. And he's acknowledging that the relationship that he has as a person who is under the rule of the Lord. My King. As ruler, he blesses his people with good things. He gives what they need. And because of his sovereignty as King, he is worthy of our praise. In this term, recognizing the authority, the sovereignty that David has under the Lord, that God is supreme and sovereign. He's also acknowledging that he has a responsibility to obey the laws of this king. And so he's giving him praise that God is a just king, that he is a righteous king, that he's a forgiving King. So think about the relationship that we have with the Lord and give Him that praise. His praise is personal to a personal God, and for that David wanted to express his praise. But we also notice in the first two verses that praise is to be persevering. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. I would think you would all agree with me that there are days when praise just rolls off the tongue easily. Would you say amen? Can I get a witness? Yeah. It's easy to praise the God when everything's going well. But in this particular passage, the psalmist is suggesting that every day, and it doesn't matter what the day is like, we are to give Him praise. Some days are harder than others. I will praise you, he says. I will praise you how long? Forever. Would you repeat that with me? I will praise you forever. Say that once more, everybody. I will praise you forever. That seems like a pretty vague term, though, doesn't it? Forever. How long is forever? We think, okay, David sometimes will pray for a meal and he'll say, God, you know, we thank you. You're infinite. Now, for a six-year-old, I'm not sure he really understands what infinite means. But that God goes on and on and on, and so is our praise. Our praise is to be infinite, that it goes on and on and on and on. But that just seems such a vague term, doesn't it? So David qualifies it, or he clarifies it, by saying that I will give you praise when? Day by day. Every day. So we wake up in the morning, and today is a great day. We give him praise. We wake up in the morning and we seem to have gotten out of bed on the wrong side, and we are to give him praise. Day after day, we are to be persevering in our praise. That it doesn't matter the events in life or the events through the day, we are still to give him praise. I'd like you to turn to Revelation chapter 4. Here's a scene in heaven that I think helps us to understand, as we think about the perseverance of praise. So how long are we to praise the Lord? Forever. When do we praise him? Day after day. Day after day. Today, all day long. Tomorrow, all day long. Revelation chapter 4, we're going to start in verse number 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around. Even under his wings, day and night. They never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Night and day, an anthem of praise is to be raised from our voices, from our hearts, out of gratitude for what God has done for us. Paul would write it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. In everything means suggest to me that everything that happens to me today, I am to give the Lord praise for. This morning we were going out to get into the car, and the garage door had been up, and the dog had been in the garage, and I had a bag of garbage on the floor, and there was a hole chewed in the corner of it. And I found it hard, but on the way down, I said, you know, Lord, I've got to give you praise for that. Even though I've got to go pick up the trash again, I've got to give you thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will concerning you. Every day, all day, doesn't matter what it is, give him thanks. That's Paul's wording of what David is writing here, that forever and ever, day and day and day, every day we are to give him thanks. Robin had plans Friday. They didn't include getting up at 3 a.m. to go to work at 4 a.m., but she had to. That changed her plans for what she wanted to do, which meant that also changed my plans for the day. We had to pause and give thanks because that was God's will for that day. Do we give God thanks for those changes that occur in our life? We can talk a good game and give rhetoric to the fact of praising God in all things each day and every day, but when the rubber meets the road of reality, will we pause and give him thanks? In a cartoon this week, a family had gathered around the Thanksgiving table, and they were in the prayer mode of folded hands, and the little girl asks a very probing question. Why aren't we this thankful every day? When you drive into work this week, before you shut the motor off, I encourage you to pause and give God thanks for safety from home to where you work. As you reach for your brown bag lunch, thank God for what you have. As you walk into the office, thank the Lord that you have a job. Thank the Lord that it's even perhaps in a warm building. I've been working this last week. Now, I have a space heater, so don't feel bad for me. But we've been without heat over in the house, and it's down to 45 on most days in there. So it gets a little chilly when I open the door to go get my lunch in the refrigerator and then walk back. So give God thanks for the things that happen in the day. Pause to express your gratitude for the can of soup you reach for at lunch, or for going to the mail, doing whatever, shopping. Give Him praise. An elderly Christian man who was an exceptional singer had learned that he had cancer of the tongue. Surgery was required, and when the day arrived, the man asked the doctor if he was ever going to be able to sing again. Uncertain about what to say, the doctor could only shake his head. And so he asked the doctor if he could sit up for a moment, and he said, "You know, my life has been filled with giving God praise, singing to Him songs filled with the blessings that He has done for me." And so it was there that he said, "In this moment, before we go into surgery, I have one song that I would like to sing." And he sang the hymn of Isaac Watts in these words: "I'll praise my Maker while I've breath. And when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power. My days of praise shall ne'er be past, while life and thought and being last, or immortality endures." Even in the darkest moments, when he could no longer sing praise audibly to the Lord, he wanted his last words to be heard: praise for what God had done. We are quick to complain, but oh so slow at giving praise. We get a flat tire and we complain. We lose an account and we complain. Someone belittles us and we complain. We don't do well in a class and we complain. We have a leak in the basement and we complain. The psalmist is suggesting to us that those are events also in which to give the Lord praise. Every day at the beginning of the day and every day at the end of the day, and as many times during the day, pause to give Him thanks. So it is to be persevering. Notice next that praise is to be preeminent. "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness." Our praise to Him should be above everything else. Our praise should be only to Him. Verse 3 tells us that we praise Him because He is God and He's a great God, and that His greatness is beyond our comprehension. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out." On occasion, just for fun or perhaps to torment me, Matthew Bowerly will show me a mathematical equation. It has Greek letters and numbers. I know the Greek letters and I know the numbers, but for the life of me, I can't even begin to comprehend what the equation is or how to figure out what he's got on that piece of paper. I don't understand it, Matthew. Try as I may, but I can't comprehend it. David is saying that God's wisdom is beyond our ability to comprehend, to understand, but still I'm going to praise Him. His greatness is vast. But that doesn't give me excuse that okay, if God can't be comprehended, I must, then why do it? You're saying, I'm going to praise God regardless of my inability to understand or comprehend Him. When I look out through a telescope into the sky and I see the vastness of the universe and all that's there, the galaxy after galaxy and all the things that are, I can't begin to comprehend what's out there. And I just exclaim, wow. Or if I take a microscope that gives me the ability to look at a cell in the molecular level, and I can't begin to comprehend what's there, and all I can say is, wow. And I acknowledge God is the one who did that. There are those who want to say that cell came from the beginning of time when the primordial soup of the universe was struck by a bolt of lightning and it bubbled some things up and it created a being that created into other beings, and over time we are who we are, and they refuse to acknowledge that God is the one who did it. There are others who take the same evidence and they say, you know what, we can't really begin. We think we understand some of it, but we know that rightfully all that we see has been created by a living creator, a God who exists and wants to have a relationship with us. I want to suggest to you today that God's ways may be unsearchable, but He is not unknowable. Would you say amen? So what do we do with this? The psalmist suggests in verse 4 that one generation will commend your works to another. That means we got to pass it on. That's what the Israelites did, isn't it? They passed on God's blessings when they came out of Egypt, and all the blessings, all the things that happened to them to get them to the promised land, there were reminders along the way, and they wrote them down so that each generation would understand that God was in it all. And we need to do that, don't we? We need to pass on. My mom and dad were so good at doing that. You know, the Lord did this. The Lord, we need to just not remember the things that are in the past. We also need to pass on the things that are in the present so that the future generation knows that it's God. So pass it on, folks. That's what David is saying here in this psalm, that we need to express not only the things that have been happening, but the things that are happening, and that they are given by God and they are His blessings as a reminder of God's goodness to us, to give Him thanks. So what are we teaching our children, the next generation? Are we teaching them to be complainers or praisers, grumblers or filled with gratitude? Are we teaching them to praise God every day and in every way? Is it preeminent? I want you also to notice in verse 4 that God's power is to be praised. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. There is miraculous power, would you agree with me? God is able to do some miraculous things because of who He is. There is nothing too hard for Him. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast created the heavens and the earth with Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee, Jeremiah 32:17. God is able to do some tremendous things, and there is miraculous power with which He does those. There is also His creative and sustaining power in which we recognize and acknowledge that God is the one who set all this in motion and started it from nothing, and that He created it and that He keeps it going. Within the universe, there are galaxies, and within the galaxies, there are stars and planets, suns and planets, and all this and that. And on this particular planet, there are people, and God keeps it all together. He has a creative power. But I think He's also speaking here not only of miraculous power and creative power, but I think He's also speaking of redemptive power. That God has the ability, in a spiritual sense, to keep us. So that when we trust Christ as Savior, nothing will sever our relationship with Him. A power to save that nothing else can. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the power of salvation. And so we give Him praise for His power. Jump down to verse 13, and we see here we are to praise God for His promises. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made. Romans 4:20 and 21 says, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. When God says something, He will keep His word. And the psalmist is saying here that we need to give God praise for His promises. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and will He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? God will keep His word. God has promised. Faithful is He who promised. He will do it. Verses 18 and 19. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. Not only do we give God praise for His promise, but we praise God for His we praise God for His presence. We praise God for His presence. I will never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13:5, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the valley of death, I will fear no evil because You are with me. God's presence. Give Him praise that He is with you. And in verse 20, the Lord watches over all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. In that we see and give praise to God for His protection. And then I want to back up in verse 15 and 16 and show you that we give praise to God for His provision. The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food. At the proper time, You open their hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. We know the famous preachers John and Charles Wesley. Less familiar is their father, Samuel Wesley, who also was a preacher. Over the course of his ministry, he had received and faced numerous battles of individuals who opposed him, not only outside the church, but within his own congregation as well. There was opposition. One night, there was a fire that broke out in their house. Somebody had set the home on fire. And unbeknownst to them, John Wesley, who was at 6 at the time, was upstairs playing in the bedroom up in the second floor. A couple of neighbors rushed into the house, and just as the house was being consumed in fires, they were able to rescue little John Wesley. While many people would have sat in despair over the loss of their tangible goods, Samuel gathered his family and his friends together, and he says, "Folks, let's pause and give thanks to God. He has given me all my children. Let the house go. I am rich enough. God provides. God provides what we need." Matthew 6 reminds us that if God cares and provides for the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, won't He also care and provide for us as well? Psalm of Thanksgiving ends with this appropriate verse, summing it all up. "My mouth will speak in praise to the Lord. Let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever." The New Testament word for praise initially meant to tell a tale or to give a narration. And I think what's being suggested here is that our praise ought to be a narration to other people and to God what He has done for us. We have so much to give God praise for, and I would invite you this week to join me in giving the Lord thanks and praise for all the things that He has done for us. He is worthy. He's worthy of our praise, and He's worthy of so much more. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? We can give God praise for many things, but true praise can only come if we have a personal relationship with God, a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm wondering this morning, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, do you know for sure today that you have such a relationship? Do you know for sure? And if not, now would be an appropriate time to give God thanks for the salvation that He has provided. And so with a hand slipped up. I'm wondering if there's someone who would indicate, Pastor, I don't know Christ as my Savior. I can't really give Him praise. And so I'd like to take care of that today. Is there anyone this morning? Heavenly Father, may our hearts and our tongues resonate praise to You because You have given us so much. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.